Chapter 8, please. Mark chapter 8 this morning. I'm going to direct your attention to just a few verses in Mark chapter 8. I want you to go down to verse 35 once you get there. Mark chapter 8, and begin in verse 35, and you follow as I read. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the Gospels, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in glory, in the glory of his Father, with the holy angels. These verses that we've read here this morning, as Jesus is teaching not only his disciples, but many others, he called the multitudes of people together, and he's teaching many people, and as he's teaching, he gives these words here, and these verses are designed to teach them and also teach us that the spiritual is far more important than the material in life. The spiritual side of life is really the only thing that's important. And that's not the way that most people think about life. You have life that you live, you have days that you live, every morning people wake up, and most people live their entire lives trying to take care of the physical and the material needs of their life. Most people live life trying to acquire something for the future as far as in this material life, to gain things, to make my life pleasing, to make my life, here's what I want in life, and I'm working towards these things, and maybe someday when I retire, I'll be able to live some sort of comfortable life. Most people live life with those things in mind. That is their focus. And they give very little attention to the spiritual side of life. And Jesus, as he's teaching, is wanting people to know that only the spiritual side of life is what actually matters in the end. And when I say in the end, what I mean is at the end of your life. The fact is, you're going to die. Nobody makes it out of this life alive. Does that make sense? We're all going to die. We're all going to leave this world. And the Bible teaches us very clearly that life doesn't stop, or your existence doesn't cease when you die physically. In fact, your soul is eternal. It's going to go somewhere for all eternity. And that is the reason why the spiritual is the only thing that actually matters in the end, because you cannot take all that you've accumulated in this life with you. No one ever has, and no one ever will. You know, in ancient cultures, pharaohs would be buried with all of these material things, and the thought process behind it all was that it was helping them as they transfer into the afterlife and so on. None of that is true according to the Bible. The Bible teaches us that naked we came into this world and naked we're going out. And we can't take anything of this material life with us when we leave. And so that's really the emphasis that Jesus is getting at in these verses. And I want to unpack these verses this morning and make some applications and try to pull out the important truth here that Jesus is trying to get across to people about the value of your soul and how the spiritual and the eternal is the most important thing. We're going to see two main things in these verses. We're going to see a paradox, but then secondly, we're going to see a penalty. And so let's ask the Lord to help us as we consider His Word today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that You would teach us, and Lord, that You'd use Your Word in hearts today. I don't know the hearts of men or women. There's lots of people here today. with different backgrounds, different coming from different places in life to where they are here today in this very moment. And Lord, there's a reason why each one is here. There's a divine appointment that you've established. And Lord, there's truth from your word that needs to penetrate the heart. It's no accident that people are here today. And Lord, I pray that you'd use the message and you'd use your word, Lord, to bring about and accomplish your will in every heart. And maybe there's some here today that need to be born again. They need to be saved. They've never had their sins forgiven. Lord, I pray that you'd use God's word in their life today to draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for God's people today as we consider truth. Lord, maybe we are living with the temporal in view rather than the eternal in view. And as Jesus says in verses prior to this, talking about discipleship and following Christ, that anybody who would come after the Lord has got to deny himself and take up his cross. We have to die to self. And Lord, I pray that you would teach us what you'd have for us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to direct your attention to verse 35 again, because Jesus says something that is sort of paradoxical in human thinking. And I told you we're going to see a paradox and we're going to see a penalty. In verse 35, we see that paradox. Verse 35, Jesus says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." Jesus says the way to actually save your life is if you lose it. And again, we'd say, well, that's sort of paradoxical. And somebody's like, well, what is a paradox? I've never heard that word before. A paradox is a statement that seems to be contradictory, but is actually still true. Jesus says that if you believe that saving your life, if you believe that living life the way that you want it, if you believe in living life on your own terms and being your own master and being your own Lord is more important than surrendering to the Lordship and the will of God, what you're actually going to find is that you're going to lose all that you were trying to gain. Does that make sense? People live their life with material things in view, and they're trying to accumulate, and they've got these plans, and they've got these goals, and I'm going to do this, and I'm the master of my own fate, and I'm going to do all of this in my life. And they work so hard to gain life, a comfortable life, but in the end, Jesus says, you're actually going to lose it. The way that you actually find life, the way that you actually save your life, is to lose it. What does that mean, to lose your life? Basically, Jesus is talking about yielding your life to Him. He's talking about giving control of your life over to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you have a surrendered heart that says, my life is not my own, my life belongs to the Lord. Lord, you tell me what to do with life. Lord, you lead me in your will. Jesus says, that's actually how you're going to save your life. From a human perspective, that doesn't make any sense. But from a heavenly point of view, a spiritual point of view, nothing else actually makes sense. And why is that? Because this life is short. The days that you and I live are going to pass by. Some of you are even in the latter years of your life, and some of you probably could look back and say, where did time go? Where did my life go? Others of you are young, and you have all of this life to look forward to. And when you're a child, when you're young, it seems like days take forever. It's like, it's another year before my birthday. A year is a long time. But when you're at the end of your life, you're looking back and saying, where did the years go? Life is so short, it's fleeting. The Bible says that it's here for a moment and then it vanishes away. That's the reality of this mortal life. And people spend years and years and years of their life and days working and working and working so hard to try to gain something. And Jesus says, what the problem with that is that you're not thinking in terms of spiritual things and eternal things, and you're actually going to lose everything that you've worked so hard to gain. You have a choice. You have a choice. You can live your life as you see fit. You can say, I'm going to be the master of my own fate. In reality, you won't be. But you can say that. A person can refuse to heed the truth of God or come to Jesus Christ with a repentant heart for salvation. You can choose that I'm going to call all the shots. I'm going to be my own boss. I'm going to do as I please. I'm going to live life on my own terms. But in the end, you're going to lose all of that. And when you reach the end of your way, you're going to find that there's nothing but emptiness and an eternity that is waiting for you that is without God. But on the other hand, a person can commit their life to Jesus Christ. A person can deny their own will. A person can give up their rights. They can surrender to the Lord and His lordship in their life. You can follow the Lord Jesus Christ faithfully. And Jesus says, at the end of that way, at the end of my way, you're going to find that there is actually life waiting for you. You're going to find that the door is wide open in eternal life. In God's economy, what Jesus is saying is the losers of their life, are actually the keepers. Those who lose their life by giving up their will and surrendering to Jesus Christ are the ones who actually win in the end. While those who live this life alone or live life for themselves lose everything in the end. And the question that needs to be asked this morning, that you need to ask yourself, is what kind of end do you anticipate? Where is the end of your life actually going to lead? What are you living for? What is the focus of your life? What do you give your time and attention to? Then look at verse 36, because verse 36, Jesus asks a very powerful question here. And I want you to think about it for a moment, because he's really illustrating what he just said by asking this question. He says in verse 36, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Just imagine for a second that you possess the whole world and all of its riches. We know of some very rich men in this world. You think of the Bill Gates, and you think of the, I don't even know, I can't even remember them all, the owner of Apple and owner of Amazon. And you think of all of these people. You think of people who have all the riches. But imagine multiplied time and time again past those people. Imagine if you had and possessed the entire world and all of its riches. Imagine that you could do anything that you wanted to do at the drop of a hat. You're just going to go get in your jet and fly across over to, you know, we're going to go to dinner in Italy tonight just because we want to. Imagine that you could do anything that you wanted. Imagine that you could be anything that you wanted. Imagine that you could go anywhere that you wanted to go in an instant. Imagine that you were the absolute ruler of all things. People did what you said to do because you ruled the world. Sounds like, man, what a dream come true. Like, we think really small. Like, I just want a house to live in. Like, I don't need to have riches. Sometimes we think that way. But imagine that you had all of that. Sounds like a lavish life. It sounds like, man, a life that's worth living. I can do whatever I want, whenever I want. I don't have to answer to anybody. I don't have to worry about money. I can go any place I want to go. I can go see anything I want to see. I can do it all because I have it all. But now imagine, though, at the end of that experience of having and being and doing as you please, that you come to the end of your life. You die. And now imagine that you've lived those decades with so much wealth and lavishness, but you die. Imagine that you actually find yourself in the flames of hell. Let me ask you the question, would those few years or even decades that you live in pleasure, would they be worth an eternity experiencing the judgment of God in the lake of fire? Are you thinking? Are you asking yourself the question? Because Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Jesus actually told the story of a man who experienced everything that I just described. Go to Luke chapter 16. Keep your place here. And go to Luke chapter 16. And I want you to see verse 19, Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. Jesus says, there was a certain rich man. All right, so he already describes what he's like. He's rich. Which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. How did he live his life? Very lavish, very rich. Every single day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And note this, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Jesus tells this story. I believe it was a factual, actual thing, not just a story that was made up. The people who actually lived, a rich man and a man named Lazarus, who was a beggar. The rich man lived his life in the lap of luxury. He had all that this world could offer, but then he died. He didn't take any of that with him, And the Bible says in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment. When he arrived at his final destination, all the money and all the pleasure and all the power that he enjoyed in life was useless to him in hell. He had lost his soul, and therefore he lost everything. Now let's be realistic this morning, okay? Most people in this room will never know what it's like to possess great, great riches. As far as I know, no one in this room is uber wealthy. Most of us are not going to know what it's like to have power. Most of us are not going to know in this life what it's like to just be able to go and do whatever we please whenever we want to. And so imagine that you live your life doing all the things that you want to do, and when you reach the end of your life, you die. You've worked hard all of your life. You've done without things in this life. You've endured hardships and you've suffered at times in this life. But you've lived your life and you live it on your terms, though. But then you die. And you still go into an eternity without God. You still end up in hell. The question is, what have you profited? The question is, where is the profit in that? What have you gained? You've actually gained nothing, and you've lost everything. The point is, it's not about this material life. It's not about this physical life. It's about eternity, and it's about your soul. That's why you need to come to Jesus Christ. That's why you need to have your sins forgiven. It's why you need to be made right with God. It's because your soul is the most valuable thing that you have. It's the most important thing. Listen, teenager, listen to me. There is nothing for you out in the world. The world offers things. It offers money. It offers fame. It offers fortune. It offers all kinds of things that might be alluring to your flesh. But there is nothing of value for you out in the world. Your soul is the only thing that is of value. Where is your soul going to go? You could go out into eternity today. It doesn't matter if you're 74, and it doesn't matter if you're 14. You could go out into eternity today. Where is your soul going to go? It doesn't matter how much money you have sitting in your bank account. It doesn't matter how little money you have in your bank account. What is the only thing of value is your eternal soul. And Jesus asked that question. In verse 37, he asks another question. He says, what's it profit if you had the whole world, but you lost your soul? And then he said, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? In other words, Jesus is saying, what is the worth of your soul in comparison? And before I'm going to ask you, I want you to answer that question. I want you to think about that question. What is the worth of your soul? But before you answer, let me remind you that your soul is the only part of you that's going to live forever. Your body is going to die. Your body is going to be buried and go into the ground. But your soul will live on either in heaven or in hell. And so what is your soul worth? Jesus says, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? The question is, are you willing to trade your eternal soul for something that is so fleeting in this life? There are people who would trade their soul for alcohol and drugs. There are people who would do anything. and trade their soul for the next hit that they can get, the next high that they can get, for some alcohol and drugs. There are people who, listen, it's so alluring and so appetizing to the flesh. There are young people and teenagers who think, man, I see all the fun that's happening out there. I wonder what it's like to take a drink. I wonder what it's like to taste that. I wonder what it's like to be drunk. I wonder what people look like they're having so much fun. There is nothing in the world for you. Not that's going to do any good for your soul. It's only going to bring death and destruction. That's all it's going to bring. And how many people get hooked? And their life just starts going in the tank because they're controlled by some substance that only is going to destroy them. But they would give anything for their next high. What would a man exchange for his soul? There's some people who would trade their soul for a physical relationship with somebody else. There's some people who would choose to walk away from God and walk away from the place of safety and walk away from truth because they have some desire for a physical relationship with somebody else. Are you kidding? People do it all the time. I need to feel love from somebody. And here's somebody who's paying attention to me. And maybe you grew up in a Christian home. And maybe you have access to truth. But there's somebody over here who's paying some attention to you. And you're tempted in your soul to walk away from all of this and follow that. Where's it going to lead you? It's going to take you right away from the things of God that are actually going to save your soul. People do it all the time. What would you give in exchange for your soul? What's your soul worth? Are you willing to trade your soul even for the right to do as you please? And live life on your own terms? Is a person willing to trade their soul for a few years of being their own God? Point is, Jesus says there's nothing more valuable than your soul. It's the only part of you that's going to last forever. If you're lost, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, do you know what you're doing? You are exchanging your soul for something that is of no value in the end. You're trading the most valuable possession that you have for some trinkets in this world. People buy into the lie of the devil. Oh, if you come to Jesus Christ or you yield your life to the Lord, you're going to lose everything. You're going to be a slave. You're going to have to give up all your fun. People buy into that lie and then they go out into eternity without the Lord. Listen to me. I don't know where you're at today in your life, but if you don't know Jesus Christ, it's not too late to change the road that you're on. Trade this world and all of its fluff. Yield your life to the Lord, and what you're trading is eternal. What you're gaining is an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. What you're gaining is heaven. There's a story, it's a true story, about the king of the Franks. In about 1000 AD, the tomb of Charlemagne, who was the king of the Franks, was discovered and it was opened up. And what was found inside of his tomb of this great king was something spectacular. The king had been dead for about 180 years by this point. By the way, in 180 years, you and I won't even be a memory in people's minds. All that you've worked so hard for in this life is either going to be gone or someone else is going to own it, and you won't even be a memory. That's the reality, friend. This life is so short and it's so fleeting. You and I don't have anything of value except our eternal soul. But anyway, his tomb was opened up, and when they opened his tomb, they found great, great treasure. But they also encountered an amazing sight. What they saw was the skeleton of this once great king, King Charlemagne. The skeleton was sitting on a throne. There was still a crown sitting on his skull. His flesh was all gone. And in the bony hands of this king was a copy of the scriptures. It was the Gospels. And I don't know how it all happened, and I don't know how it got to this point, but the story is told that there was not only a copy of the Gospels in his hand, but there was a bony finger pointing to this very verse that said, "What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" And the point is that Charlemagne was a great king. He had everything, but in the end, none of that mattered. When it came time for him to die, he left his robes, he left his riches, he left all of his royalty behind, and he went out into eternity to meet God. And when you and I reach the end of our earthly life, nothing that we have achieved, nothing that we have accumulated in this life is actually going to matter at all. All that's going to matter in that hour is, do I have a relationship with Jesus Christ? All that's going to matter is whether or not we willingly lost our life so that we might have life through Jesus Christ. And the question is, what will you find at the end of your life's journey? Now, I want you to go to verse 38, because here we find the penalty. Jesus gives the paradox. He gives the paradox, and he says, if you try to save your life, this temporal life, you're actually going to lose it. But if you willingly lay it down and yield to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to find life. Because the only thing that you have of value is your eternal soul. So what would you be willing to exchange for it? But then he says, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father and with the holy angels." Here Jesus speaks of a penalty. Jesus has a word here for those who rejected his message. He refers to those who are ashamed of him and his words. The word ashamed here in this context, it basically means unwilling or restrained because of fear and shame, because of disapproval. And it refers to those who would not come to Jesus Christ for salvation. It refers to those who are unwilling to bend and those who refuse to receive him or accept his message. And when a person comes to Jesus Christ, when a person lays down their life, they follow him, there's a price to pay. The believer is choosing to reject the world, reject his own way. He's choosing instead to follow Jesus Christ and yield to Jesus Christ. And the believer is saying, I yield my will, I yield myself, I want to follow and identify with Christ, even to the point of suffering reproach or being hated for the cause of Jesus Christ. Jesus talks about that prior to this in verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He's talking about death to self here. You want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? You want to come after me? It indicates that he's the one who's in the lead and I'm following his lead and his will. Then he says, you got to die to yourself. Take up your cross. When a person comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and begins to follow him, there's a price to pay. Do you know what? Let me say this to you. Salvation, having your sins forgiven, it's not just a fire escape. It's not just an escape from the flames of hell. What it is a yielded will to the will of God that says, my life is not my own. You take the reins. You tell me what to do. Lord, I am yours. I give my life to you. There's a price to pay. You can't just add Jesus into your life to escape the flames of hell and then just go and live however I want to live and do as I please. Not everyone's willing to pay that price, though. Those who refuse to believe, those who want no part of his message, those who want to control their own life, Jesus says those are the ones they're going to face terrible judgment when they stand before God. Just as they refused to acknowledge him in this life, he will not acknowledge them in the next. They're going to face him in judgment. They're going to be cast into the lake of fire. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 7. Hold your place here. We're almost done. Matthew chapter 7. And I want you to look at verse 21. Jesus says, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So he says, not everybody that says, oh, I believe in Jesus, not everybody that says, Lord, is going to find themselves in heaven, in the kingdom of heaven. He said, it's those who do the will of my Father which is in heaven. And then he says in verse 22, many, many, will say to me in that day, the day they stand before God, there's going to be a lot of people who say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works? He says there's going to be a lot of religious people, people who claim Jesus Christ, people who said, see, look at all the good things we did. I went to church. I did these things. I gave some money. Many religious people are going to say, Lord, look at all that I've done for you. And then notice this, verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The scope of deception in religion is so great. People say, I know Jesus. Oh, I believe in Jesus. I have some religion. Look at all the things that I do. But Jesus says, I never knew you. That's the point that I'm making here is Jesus speaks of a penalty. You deny me or refuse to acknowledge me in this life, in the next, I'm going to not acknowledge you. The true believer when he lays down his life, when he gives his life to Jesus Christ, the true believer may suffer some in this life. But the true believer is going to enjoy the treasures of heaven when this life is over. The lost person, on the other hand, he might enjoy the best that this world ever has to offer. But when this life is ended, he's going to face God in judgment. What's yours going to be? See, there are plenty of religious people. There's plenty of cheap Christianity out there. There's plenty of cheap seats in a Baptist church. We do some religious things. We attend here. We give a little money. We occupy a pew. It doesn't really cost us anything. Others do work. Others pay some bills. Even some others bear the reproach of Christ in this world. But look at how spiritual I am. Listen, there's a lot of cheap Christianity out there. But the true believer is willing to lay down his life. The true believer is willing to yield his life and his will to the Lord Jesus Christ. The true believer is willing to pay that price. Let me just say to you, joining a church costs you nothing. Doing some religious things gains you nothing. The only thing that gains you anything is a true relationship with Jesus Christ. What will you give in exchange for your soul? The only thing of value that you actually have is that soul, and it's priceless. Where will you spend eternity? What are you gaining or trying to gain now in this life? And I don't know how the Lord may have spoken to your heart today, but I know He's spoken to somebody. Let me ask you the question as we close, are you saved? Is your soul secure? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? When did you repent of your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ? Obey Him. Obey His call today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd work in hearts this morning. And maybe there are some things that were said today that are causing some to think and to ponder. Maybe the course and direction of their life has only been, what can I gain? How can I set myself up? How can I live comfortably? Maybe that's been the whole direction and focus of their life. And Jesus says, when that's your focus, you're actually going to lose your life. You're going to lose your soul. Lord, maybe there's some young people here who've heard the gospel, who know about sin. They even know about the judgment of God. But they don't want to yield. They want to control their own life. They want to make their own choices and do their own thing. I don't like this preaching. I don't like rules. That's how they put it. Lord, I pray that You'd help them to see the emptiness of a life lived for self, and then the end of that road is judgment. Help them to see the value of their eternal soul, that only the eternal is what actually matters. So Lord, whatever the case may be, I pray that there would be a yielded response, a tender heart, a soft heart toward You today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.